You know what I love to do in the summer?
It's time for you to make out with another married guy.
No, I love to eat homegrown produce, and the only place that I would ever get my fresh produce is from Tease Farms and Greenhouses. Sweet corn, tomatoes, and peaches are my go-to produce this time of year. Not only do they have the best selection of plants, flowers, and shrubs, they have the best homegrown produce picked fresh from their fields. Get your local Missouri honey at Tease Farms and leave the beekeeping to the pros.
Give us an audio.
That sort of screaming is what I'm hearing. And I can see bees, and they're all being stung.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
Wow. 97. Like the fall of 97, too.
Is this Cameo?
Nope. Good guess. I think maybe he did the original. Invisible Man, written by and performed by Stan, Drew Lachey, Nick Lachey, and Stan.
Stan doesn't have a last name?
Stan McNeil. He writes for the Cardinals publication.
As long as it's him and not Kroenke.
Invisible Man. Wow. Mm.
Which Lachey did you like better?
I don't know that I could recognize any of the Lacheys.
The 2006 Cardinals loved Nick Lachey, and I sometimes wonder if that led them to a world championship.
I doubt that.
I had Jim Edmonds live on the pregame because we had Nick Lachey live, and I made a little joke at the beginning, and I said, you know how you make a great major league player giggle like a schoolgirl? You bring on Nick Lachey, and Edmonds was so mad, he wouldn't answer any questions, but he did stand there for the rest of the interview.
You ask him questions, and he just said nothing?
Yeah, because he was mad. But he didn't leave because Nick was still there. Nick thought it was funny.
Well, why would you insult one of the ballplayers?
It's just a little joke. I'm friends with Jimmy. I mean, you make little jokes at my expense. I make them at
yours. Well, you're not a professional baseball player that is doing you a favor by being out there to be interviewed.
Well, actually, I had Nick Lachey on, and he wanted to come on, too.
I wouldn't be surprised if Edmonds blocks you also.
You and your
maybe he already has. Maybe he already has.
You are hungry. You are hungry for power.
Hungry like the wolf. Hungry like the wolf. Send your emails in the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Preston Wilson is going to join us. And then we have some audio from Ray Donovan last night. Had a cuckold situation.
Who plays Ray Donovan, if I may?
Liev Schreiber.
That's correct.
I saw a movie last night, Last Day on Mars.
Doug, have you seen Last Day?
Well, I think it was.
It was
great.
Really good. No, it was good, but I think that was Ray Donovan who played the lead role.
I think it was Bunchy.
Guy's a good actor.
He's the voice of NFL films as well.
Is he really?
No, distinct voice. Ray Donovan. That's why Doug needs to watch the show, but he won't do it.
What channel is it on again?
Showtime, baby. Showtime.
Yeah, some of us aren't blessed enough to have Showtime. Some of us are, you know, kind of thin because we have HBO and we can't afford another premium channel.
Hey, look, everybody. Preston Wilson's on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. He was on the call of the Cardinals and Marlins on Saturday. You heard him, and he's also on the Marlins broadcast. Cardinals and Marlins dueling right now for that wild card spot. Miami taking the last two of the series after the Cardinals beat Jose Fernandez on Thursday and were able to win on Friday as well. And this one might go down all the way to the final week of the season for those wild card spots with the Cardinals, Marlins, Dodgers, and Mets. Joining us right now to get his perspective and also on his return to St. Louis for the celebration of the 2006 World Champion Cardinals, which enjoyed Nick Lachey's presence. Ladies and gentlemen, the Appliance Discounter phone lines, Preston Wilson. Preston, good morning.
Good morning. How's it going, guys?
Great to have you on the show. Well, how great was it for you to be back in St. Louis with your teammates for that 2006 World Championship team?
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun seeing everyone. Going back, rehashing all the memories, talking to each other about all the things that happened, how the whole World Series journey went down. It was a great trip.
That NLCS, especially Game 7, is considered one of the great postseason baseball games in recent history. That's for certain. Your memories of that game at Shea Stadium, the atmosphere, some of the plays, Andy Chavez's catch, Yadi's home run, Wainwright freezing Beltran. I mean, those are three moments etched in history, and they all took place in a matter of a handful of innings.
Well, the first thing about it is, for me, it was surreal because I grew up in Shea Stadium watching my dad play for the Mets. So for me to be in that environment in a postseason game was just absolutely, it was just bizarre. And then in the stadium, there was just so much energy, so much noise. The speaker was literally, the dugout was literally vibrating like a speaker. The roof of the dugout was going woof, 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 because of all the noise and all the people moving around and screaming in there. It was like being inside a speaker at a concert. So that was just, it was deafening. Your hair would stand up on your arms. It was absolutely crazy.
Got pretty quiet when Beltran struck out, though, didn't it?
To have a rookie on the mound in that moment, and for him to be able to keep his composure, throw a pitch that nasty against a guy who is one of the best switch hitters of all time, is definitely, it's an iconic moment in baseball.
I remember that after the game, too, they wanted to take a separate picture of the bullpen, and they would not take the picture until Izzy went up and was with them because Jason Isringhausen, you know, talking to those guys was such a help in terms of leadership and helping them get through it. He played a big part even though he wasn't playing.
So many small stories go into what made that World Series team. But, yes, Isringhausen, he's a special guy. I was with Izzy in the Mets with the minors back in the mid-'90s, early 90s. So we roomed together, you know, we got together there, and then we're in St. Louis together, and unfortunately he had the hip issue and could not pitch. But his influence on Wainwright, talking to him, you know, being there mentoring a guy who essentially was put in his position when he was injured, is what really got Wainwright through it. He gave him tips. He told him how to handle the situation mentally. And Wainwright even spoke about the fact that when he's on the mound in that Game 7, the only thing that really made him able to calm down was the things that Isringhausen said to him. That was what was able to get him through that moment.
How did you like playing for Tony La Russa back then?
Oh, I enjoyed it. You know, Tony's one of those guys who's the most well-prepared manager I've ever played for. So it was a lot of fun.
What'd you make of the series we just saw in Miami? Really turned on a dime after the first couple of games and went the Marlins' way.
Well, when you look at the two teams of how they go about their business, it's the Cardinals, when they hit the ball out of the ballpark, it's tough to hold them down. The Marlins, when they're going to get hits, but when they're able to string hits together, that's when they're tough. And that's what happened in the first two games. The Cardinals hit the ball out of the ballpark. The pitching was good, so the Cardinals won the first couple games. The second two games, the Marlins were able to put hits together, put more than one run together in an inning, and that's when they get going, and that's what happened in the last two games.
My question, yesterday's game, why didn't Ichiro start? Like, I appreciate the way Don Mattingly has handled it, saying, you know, we're going to get the most of him out of him by not stretching him out too much, a guy at his age, even though he's in unbelievable shape, I'll give you that. But I was hoping yesterday they had a chance to get the record at home, and he wasn't even in the starting lineup.
But there's no guarantee he's going to get the hit. I mean, he started the game a couple days ago and went 0-for-4. It's one of those things where Don Mattingly is set on doing it in the context of how the team is run. He's not doing it to try to promote a certain issue at the expense of the team. And I think you have to do it that way because that's how baseball is. And Ichiro actually is such a baseball historian. He has such respect for the game that he doesn't want favors in order to get to 3,000 in a certain space. He wants to do it in how it comes. And I think the team recognizes that. And I know as a fan, as an outsider, people want to see him do it in front of his home team, in front of his home crowd. But I think Ichiro, more than anyone, understands the history of baseball, and he has such respect for the game that he doesn't want anyone doing him a favor in order to just have a certain situation play out. And Mattingly is all about trying to win ball games right now, and if Ichiro's the fourth outfielder, he's not going to start that much. That's just how it is when all the outfielders are healthy.
When the season began, I don't remember anybody saying, watch out for those Miami Marlins. They got a shot this year. And yet there you are, just four games behind the Nationals and in one of the wild card spots right now. Does it come to a surprise to people down there that this team is so good?
No, I think a lot of players understand how the team was built and how much they were going along, and they understood that if Stanton was healthy, and if Yelich didn't hit 200 for 2 months last year, You know, Yelich was hitting 200 in June last year. A lot of people don't remember that. He just had such a great second half of the season that they don't remember the struggles that he had with that back issue. A lot of teams knew that the Marlins had a lot of quality players. I think there were some additions that were made as far as coaching that may have helped, but Don Mattingly has admitted that when he met with the team over the offseason, he was surprised at how confident the team was and how confident the team felt about their chances this year. So I think it opened his eyes just talking to each player individually, seeing what they felt about it. But I think in the big scope of fans and everyone else, it has been a surprise how far they've come along.
Obviously, they needed starting pitching, and they went out and they got Ray and Cashner. Ray was hurt. Is he okay? What's his status?
Well, he's on the 15-day DL right now. I don't think they quite know what's going on with him. But I think they're going to evaluate him and see what's happened. Cashner, I think, is a big help. What they really need is they need innings and from the starting pitching. The bullpen has been good, but the bullpen in the Cardinals series actually pitched more innings than the starters did. And that's what happens when guys in the bullpen start losing that edge that they had because their roles get too extended. They have to throw too many innings. The Marlins have a really good bullpen on the back end, but their workload has been so heavy that they're starting to struggle a little bit. So the starting pitching has to do their job and give them innings.
Cashner said after the game that Carlos Martinez hit a guy, had some control issues, walked some guys in the early going. Cashner said he thought it was intentional, some sort of payback. Did you see it that way?
I didn't see it that way. And you know what? If you're going to have some kind of payback and put runners on for a team that makes a lot of contact, has some speed, I mean, that's on you. If you feel like that's your time to try to do that, I don't know if it's intentional, but I feel like that's something you got to be very careful with, trying to follow a personal vendetta when it can cause your team the game. I honestly think the whole time for that in baseball is out anyway. I mean, there's no other sport where you can intentionally take the equipment and injure another player or, you know, hit another player and there's no penalty for it. I think it's time out for in baseball because everybody has their celebrations. Pitchers fist pump when they walk off the mound. Batters get excited when they hit home runs. I think it's time for the hurt feelings and this old world thinking of batters that it's okay for a batter to be hit by a pitch because of what actions they take or something like that, when no batter can go out there and throw his bat at the pitcher on the mound because he gets upset right. Because the pitcher fist pumps all the way to the dugout when he gets the big out. It's time out for that.
Yeah, it gets back to that old baseball code where you're just supposed to do certain things that really don't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, but who wrote the code? The person that wrote the code is the person that has the most benefit on the field anyway. Most of the rules from these unwritten rules benefit the pitcher. It's the hardest thing to do in a sport is hit a baseball.
Right.
So the pitchers get upset because they give up a hit in a certain situation. Well, you already have all the advantages. You control the ball. So your feelings get hurt when a guy gets a hit. Your feelings get hurt when a guy steals a certain base. I think it's really overblown. It's timeout. I think baseball really needs to revisit that. If they're going to stop guys from sliding at second base, they need to stop the intentional, guys hitting someone intentionally. Unfortunately, you can't look inside someone's head and see what they're thinking.
Yep.
There's a chance we will see the Cardinals and Marlins in that one-game playoff in early October. Cardinals and Marlins, four-game series split. Preston Wilson on the call in Miami and a 2006 world champion here with the Cardinals. Preston, great to catch up with you, sir. Thanks for the time this morning.
Oh, no problem. Thanks, guys.
Preston, thank you much.
On the appliance discounter phone lines. You had a big hit in that 2006 World Series Game 4, Doug, where Granderson slipped.
Yeah.
Right where Kurt Flood slipped as well.
Oh,
same ballpark and everything.
Yeah, I guess it would have been. You're kind of happy with yourself for throwing the parallels, aren't you?
Yeah, I don't think anybody's done it up until 10 years after the fact.
No. Who was the hitter when Kurt Flood slipped, remember?
Darnell Coles.
No, Jim Northrup.
Of course.
Sure.
Who was the hitter when Granderson slipped?
Preston Wilson.
David Eckstein, MVP.
Darnell Coles, by the way, the hitting coach for Milwaukee Brewers.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And he will be in studio with us when the
Brewers. He won't.
Darnell Coles gets mentioned on this show more than any other show.
More than Milwaukee. Doug, what was your reaction last night when you saw the cuckold scene on Ray Donovan?
I missed it. I missed it completely.
Oh, well, then fortunately, the Plow Marlin has some Is Plow Marlin in there? Oh, I can't see him. He's hiding.
Yeah, there he is.
Plow Marlin, you have any audio on the...
Yeah, we got a cuck situation on Ray Donovan. You can take a listen now.
All right, hit the lever, Plowsy.
Ray, meet Prince Johnson, the Black Python.
Oh.
Nice to meet you.
How you doing?
Come here. Ray. Look.
What's he looking at?
Oh, God. That's hot. I'm a cuckold.
Come on.
And I love it.
Why'd we play that?
It's sort of like Plowsy is our cuckold correspondent, sort of. Like,
yeah, we have a wrestling correspondent, a cuck correspondent.
Now, I haven't seen the program, but if you want me to just give my guess on what was going on in that clip?
Not really.
Okay, good deal.
What was the gentleman's name? Prince Johnson?
The Black Python.
Mm.
Think about it.
Mm. I will be watching the Bachelorette final episode tonight.
It's tonight the finale.
Yeah, we're even having a little party.
That could be
at the
a cuck situation.
A little viewing party at the house.
You're having a viewing party at the house?
That's right.
You and the other ladies? Who?
Yeah, me and the ladies, the sewing guild.
What are you serving?
I don't know.
Watercress sandwiches.
I don't know. Probably saltines and tap water. That's all I ever eat, right?
And tuna
if
sandwiches.
I'm not eating tuna, yeah. Saltines without the salt and tap water.
Tuna sandwiches are good, though. Good
I know
choice.
They are. Yeah. You know. It just seems like we played a bit of a porn movie there.
No, it was Ray Donovan, brother.
But with a graphic scene?
No.
Wasn't graphic.
No, it was Ray meeting Prince Johnson.
Who the hell is Prince Johnson?
He was the gentleman in the scene.
Well, I understand that, but who was he?
And then there was this other guy, and I don't know what his story was, but he was the cuck, and he said he loved it. I love it.
All right.
That's me. I've been swinging raw sewage. Yes, monster.
I did view the program last night.
What a wonderful show.
If you want the background on the situation.
No, I understand it. I don't think Doug wants to hear it, but I did watch it as well. That Ray Donovan's a damn good show. Meanwhile, I feel like Orange is the New Black is trending down. Anybody else watching that? I think the Seamus. The Plowhawk watched that.
I did see season 4. I thought it started extremely slow.
And does it pick up? Because that's where halfway through,
maybe episode 6 or
Doug,
so.
Doug, is it episode 6?
I don't know.
It starts to get back into proper form.
All right. Do it, then I'll...
And these are ladies in prison.
That's right. Piper.
And what are they doing? Making license plates or...
Essentially making license plates.
That's it.
Actually, the garden variety industry that Piper has started, and I believe she started it in season 3, as she realized there was a market from gentlemen on the outside who wanted the panties of the women on the inside.
What are we talking about now?
Orange is the New Black season 4.
And so they said they're allowed to sell them?
No, but Piper's got the black market cornered on the used panties. Maybe we should do that with our panties. I could see Timmy the Tickler wanting your panties.
So she keeps them in her cell.
And then she ships them out. And she pays off a guard to ship them out.
Oh, okay. It had to be an inside job somehow.
Yep.
And so he makes he takes a cut of the money and
just a cut, yep.
So what does she do with the money in jail?
Online poker.
I kind of missed out on what this topic was about, but I don't feel like I've really missed anything.
You went to sleep there for a minute or two?
Guys, I missed Ray Donovan last night. Give me a quick recap. I was busy watching John Turturro's feet.
That's a show, too.
No, that's a Punchy Donovan's priest.
Oh.
Doug, is Mizzou going to wear bumblebee costumes this year? How about that whole thing? They're going to bring that back.
Gosh, I hope not.
Hi, how are you? There's a fan of the show.
Where?
Right outside. She was waving.
Missouri. Good football teams. Those college teams are good, huh? What are you going to do this year? I think pretty good stuff, huh?
Well, I don't know. I don't have any idea.
Now, Gary Danielson was just on with Mr. CFB. That's Tony Barnhart to you, Russ.
Okay.
Audrey. And he says, two teams to keep an eye on with big surprises this year in the SEC.
Who?
Texas A&M and Missouri.
Really? Well, he must know something.
Gary Danielson of CBS has two dark horses in the SEC race, Texas A&M and Missouri. How about
Barry Odom has put together some fantastic defenses wherever he's gone.
And if just like last year, if you have a great defense, you're in most of the games. Just last year, they couldn't score themselves. But if he can put together another great defense like that, at least
wouldn't that be nice if we had something to get excited about football? I mean, if Missouri can win two games in September, are they playing four or five in September? But I know they have LSU, Georgia, and West Virginia. I mean, and two of those are on the road, Baton Rouge and Morgantown. I mean, you know, I'm looking forward to watching it just because I love college football Saturdays. But, you know, my hopes aren't particularly high. At the same time, they weren't high in 2007 and 2013 at this time, so who knows?
Well, you would hope that they could handle Eastern Michigan and Delaware State.
And those are both in September? Yeah. Okay, so three wins. If they could win three wins, three games in September, that means they've beaten either, you know, one of the three, West Virginia, Georgia, LSU, right? They have those in September, too.
Beware of the Delaware State Hornets.
Okay, so if they could win two games.
LSU is the 1st of October.
Okay, all right. Then I take that back. There's a lot going on right now with these dates.
Okay, and there's not a lot going on. I don't know if it matters if they'd beaten LSU on the 30th of September. That would have been a lot different than beating them on the 1st of October. I don't know. Maybe.
I'd like to go down to Baton Rouge.
Would you?
Saturday night game. If it's a Saturday night game, Missouri's going to have to be pretty good for them to put it on a Saturday night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's one of those college football experiences, you know. Saturday night in Baton Rouge. How do you do?
Hi.
Fine.
I'm okay.
Thanks.
Yeah, a trip to Florida would be fun, too. Gainesville.
Nice.
That's cool.
I think they go to Roll Damn Tide in 2 years. I wonder if Saban will still be around.
Oh, I'm sure he will be. Still be mad. Mad at everybody.
World. Seamaster's already working on booking him for that 2018 game.
The world doesn't understand just how brilliant he is.
Let's do that.
I would like to see what that's like.
Might be tough to find a place to worship for that weekend.
I thought about that, Tim.
Because you're so devoted.
I just, the diversity in that Alabama crowd, I just want to see what it's like.
Roll Tide. TJ Moe and I were right in the middle of the crowd.
Well, I know that they have international fans that fly in for the games.
Roll Tide. I'd love it. I'd love it if Missouri could do something this year. Gary Danielson thinks so. That's great to hear. Oh, hey, breaking news. I haven't read the quote yet, but people are going crazy about it. In a remarkable and lengthy rebuke of his party's nominee, Senator John McCain sharply criticized Donald Trump's comments about the family of the fallen Muslim army captain, saying, quote, "While our party has bestowed upon him the nomination, it is not accompanied by unfettered license to defame those who are the best among us." John McCain, a war hero whose service and capture in Vietnam Mr. Trump also once derided, had stayed largely silent over the weekend as Mr. Trump's feud with the parents of Captain Khan brewed, waiting until Monday morning to release a prepared statement. In recent days, Donald Trump disparaged a fallen soldier's parents. He has suggested that the likes of their son should not be allowed in the United States, to say nothing of entering its service. I cannot emphasize enough how deeply I disagree with Mr. Trump's statement. I hope Americans understand that the remarks do not represent the views of our Republican Party, its officers, or its candidates. That is John McCain this morning.
Who himself was criticized by Trump for getting captured.
He said, I like the guys that weren't captured.
Mm-hmm. I remember when he said that. You tweeted out, I remember that morning. You tweeted that'll be it.
That's it. Then this won't be the end either. It doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
It doesn't matter.
Nothing's happening now.
It doesn't matter what stupid things Trump says. It doesn't matter how much corruption Hillary's involved in. People have made their decisions. They're going to go for one or the other. I can't imagine who would be swayed at this point. I mean, you know, the media has been saturated with coverage of the two. We know what both of them represent, don't we? You think there's anybody really on the fence?
Yeah, I think you never know.
I don't know.
I do.
How many
I really do, because I think you have such disdain for both that people are reluctant to choose between the lesser of two evils.
Yeah.
And I think you want to see, all right, can he hold his tongue for a while, or is there anything more coming out about Hillary? I do think a lot of people are undecided. I don't think people don't are like...
I don't know. It seems logical that they would be, but I don't know.
I wonder if there's an agreement, or it's kind of like in the adult film industry, like they all have kind of agreed to not talk about ass implants, even though it's very clear that everybody's getting them. Not everybody, but it seems like most. Wouldn't you say like 90%?
I have no idea. Why would you?
But that was your point.
Among the national, and to an extent the local, but the national media, when you see polling numbers, like the latest polling numbers is Hillary 46%. She got a bump off the DNC just like any candidate does off their convention. This has been going on for years. And Trump's at 39%. It's irrelevant.
Right.
Yeah.
It's irrelevant. So people go, oh, 41, 40, wow, it's really tight. Well, it doesn't matter. No. You know, there's about five states that matter because those are the ones that will determine it because the others are pretty much determined already.
In fact, Jesse Helms said, I never won a poll and I never lost an election. you can't trust it. And the polls were
My point isn't necessarily trusting the polls in that the way that the polls are presented with the popular vote is irrelevant. It's paying attention to Ohio, Pennsylvania, maybe Florida.
Can we hear
Wisconsin,
that again?
Michigan, please. Nevada.
It's been a while since I heard it.
Well, the one poll says Trump is easily winning Missouri. Another poll says Hillary's slightly ahead.
I mean, God, I would bet everything that Trump wins Missouri. I don't even think it'll be close.
I do think that there's something that Doug said that's true. I do think a lot of Trump people wouldn't necessarily say to a pollster, I'm voting Trump, but they will come time. I
know a lot about Pennsylvania, and it's great.
What about it?
How's Joe Paterno? No. Are we going to bring that back?
No, right? I just heard a woman throw herself off the belt.
How about that whole deal?
They're literally throwing themselves off the upper deck.
See, if you say, all right, I'm voting for Trump, people, how could you vote for Trump?
Yeah.
Ah. And then if you, it's the same thing.
Right. You cannot win with whoever.
Right.
And because if I say Gary Johnson, which is where I currently am,
you're not voting.
You're throwing your vote away.
Right. And if you're voting for Hillary, well, how could you, you have to just say, ah. Mm-hmm. Because let's be honest, aside from the, from Johnson, if you're voting for Hillary or you're voting for Donald Trump, you're overlooking a lot of stuff, legitimate stuff. So when someone wants to argue with you about who you're voting,
I have to go, I go, okay, this will send a message. But then I'm sure people thought they were sending a message in 92 with Perot or 2000 with Nader. Doesn't matter. So then I sit there and I go, God, I don't know. I mean, realistically, as a Missouri voter, I know my vote doesn't matter. It's already going to Trump. But I like to vote my conscience, you know? That's where I am, in realizing it doesn't matter. So, I don't know. Yeah, you're exactly right. The cat, there's not one that you can go, maybe if you say Jill Stein, I enjoyed her appearance on The Morning After, where we got two questions.
But you're voting for Trump, right? If someone brings up legitimate points that you know are legitimate, right? Well, how could you vote for this because of this and this and this? You would just have to say, right?
Yeah. My vote will be an anti-Hillary vote more than a pro-Trump vote, for sure.
And I think there's other people going to do it the other
way. Wild horses couldn't drag me to vote for Trump.
I don't like mosquitoes!
I don't either.
That's a unifying piece of the platform. Yeah.
Just keep talking about mosquitoes.
That might be the move.
I'm still surprised that I never see Johnson anywhere in the media. I never do. I guess that's because
he was on Mar 2 weeks ago. He was on The Daily Show, but there's no longer The Daily Show. No, it's the show. Yes, Seamaster.
Gary Johnson actually has a town hall on CNN this Wednesday.
Yeah. Does he?
I've watched. Right. I watched their.
I'll watch that.
I think they did a town hall. Him and
if I can.
Governor Weld. It's. I mean,
anybody.
I would love to see him get in the debate. That would be the victory. That would be the victory. Yeah. And what is this thing with? I mean, where are you on this? Because I would like the Trump and the debate thing. Are you aware of this, the cat? I know you're kind of out of the loop
with the NFL.
Right.
Yeah.
It was set up a year ago. It's just, you know.
Just talk about mosquitoes.
I don't know. I would think that you would want to get maximum exposure for the debates.
Yes, but two of the three debates in 2012 were up against the NFL. It's just
there's a lot of days of the week you could do a debate that aren't up against some other TV show that's going to knock it off the primary show that people watch.
Guys, voting for governor primary is tomorrow. Thoughts? That's from the 636. As I said, when we were talking about it briefly in the 7 o'clock hour, the Post-Dispatch poll on the GOP primary, when the Democrats done, Chris Koster, Yuhai, got that already wrapped up. But Post-Dispatch has John Bruner, who's been on this show, 23%, and then Greitens, Hanaway, both at 21%, Peter Kinder at 18%, undecided at 17%. That is a poll released yesterday by the Post-Dispatch. Mm-hmm.
I usually pick a gubernatorial candidate based on how he handles a machine gun, and I can see that Greitens can handle it. I don't know about the other guys.
God, I swear, when Saturday Night Live returns, that might be something they use. They're like, oh, we don't even have to do anything. We'll just run this. And he's
like
getting a bunch of out-of-state funding because he bought for himself the domain Greitens for President 7 years ago. So I am now buying McKernan for President and seeing if I can get some donations. I think there's going to be some momentum.
Well, your lemmings would like to see you in the highest office in the land.
A lot of skellings in that closet.
I don't think the skellings are really in the closet. They're pretty much right there for everybody to enjoy. I will run on the platform of just being a good old-fashioned pervert. I want to return perversion.
Really?
Plowhawk, are you on board with that platform? I don't know. If you think I need to alter it.
No, Tim, as per usual, you are spot on
okay,
with your political campaign, and you got my vote.
And I'll legalize marijuana in Missouri.
You disgust me a little bit right there, Plowsy. Yeah. A little bit.
Well, that last comment by Tim cemented it, yeah. And I'll get my buddies along as well. Mace Dog, Rickinaw.
Okay.
Rickinaw.
Why don't you run one of your little Gallup polls on your fan page to see if you would vote for Tim for president or
against
any of the other, against any of the others, and just see how much you win by.
Six.
And that'll be something to launch a campaign for the next 4 years from now. I think it's too late for you to get in this year.
I don't know if I really want to do it.
You wouldn't want to be president?
Not really.
You wouldn't?
I mean, it's not something I'm seriously considering.
No,
but now that
I
feel like there's momentum from
I didn't think
the
you
plow
were
hawk.
Considering it. I said if somebody said, listen, okay, you can be president, would you take the job?
No.
You wouldn't?
I would not.
Why?
Because it wouldn't be in the best interest of the country for me to be running for president.
Well, what do these other people running have over you?
Absurd economic intelligence.
So here's what he does.
Intelligence. Now, I'm not talking about necessarily.
No, I'm talking about the ones running right now.
Right, I understand that.
No, Tim, you can surround yourself
by
smart
Hillary
people.
I think Hillary Clinton's brilliant, whether or not I think she's trustworthy.
Tim, totally you make money for your partners, right?
I make picks, you make money. Right. I make picks, you make money.
Here's what Tim does. He's going to revamp the whole structure of government, and from henceforth, anyone in Congress, anyone in Senate, they have to pay to serve.
Okay.
That's the business model.
All right. This is kind of like Hyman Roth now.
Yeah.
Hyman Roth always makes money for his investors, Doug.
Yeah, right.
He's going to model the government after his radio empire.
Okay. I like this.
They'll broker time.
Secretary of State would be Marmar Binks, right?
That's right. She's done a hell of a job for us.
All right. Okay.
Abel, Doug, you want a position?
Oh, sure.
How about missionary?
I was thinking vice president.
Defense secretary would be Big Al.
I think so. He was impressive at Hot Shots as he MF'd the crowd.
He was walking around with a mannequin.
He was. You see that in Miami at all this weekend, the cat? Anybody walking around with a mannequin?
I did not.
Yeah, you missed out, see?
I did miss out.
Guys, I'd vote for Doug for president of my body. Thanks, Crestwood Coyote.
You really
played Indian ball with his dad.
You know what? I'm going to suspend him. Crestwood Coyote, you have been suspended. You've been suspended a period of 2 days' time. And even as we speak, your name is going into the Llewellyn's Pub leather-bound suspension log eel. You're probably wondering, what's the special today at Llewellyn's?
Yeah.
Well, it's the Driscoll Summer Salad, mixed leafy greens, baby kale, fresh strawberries, candied pecans, and feta cheese crumbles topped with balsamic basil marinated grilled chicken breast. That's the special.
Good read.
That was a nice read.
Just in case you were wondering.
Candied pecans.
But now listen, if you go in there and you order that special today, your name goes into the hopper and you have a chance to win the spring training trip.
Can't you just text in something vile?
Well, not necessarily. You might be suspended then.
If you're suspended,
your name also goes into the hopper, but it's not what
That's
what
an
we're
ironic
suggesting.
Twist to me.
It's not what we're recommending. We're not recommending that.
Don't you think? Emails are coming up in about 10 minutes. Doug, Michael's Flooring is a recommendation from us to you. If you are doing it yourself or if you're a contractor, Michael's Flooring is local, and they've been local in St. Louis for a good long time. They have 4 St. Louis area locations to serve you at michaelsflooringoutlet.com. They're in St. Charles County, West County, North County, and Darden Prairie. They're great for everyone, the do-it-yourselfers and the contractors. There's so many things that go into a purchase when it comes to flooring, but go to the others first, then come to Michaels. I know you'll see the difference. When you think of Michaels, you think local. They've been local in St. Louis for over 20 years. Online at michaelsflooringoutlet.com. Support the sponsors. And we really are grateful for the support we received on Thursday night at Hot Shots. That was another one of those. I guess the golf tournament registration and selling out two different tournaments in one day was probably the biggest surprise. But walking into Hot Shots and see how many people were there and there weren't seats available, God bless the listeners. We couldn't be more grateful. And we will be doing it again on August 18th. I was exhausted after that. Were you tired after that?
Well, not really.
I really was, and I don't know what the hell the deal with that was. So, like, I was thinking, okay, I can hang out and have some booze, talk with the great Americans who listen to the show, and I was so tired after it, and I have no idea why.
Iron poor blood?
I don't know. No, I haven't really been. I've been feeling good as of late, but
I don't know.
I was exhausted the next day, too. Totally out of it. I haven't had that happen in a while. But people like to come out and enjoy the show, and we have the audience participation. So August 18th, we will be back at Hot Shots. Seamaster, you know which location we're going to for the next TMA Live?
I believe that's O'Fallon, Illinois.
O'Fallon, Illinois, Doug.
All right.
We'll cross the river.
Doug, did you get a little snack at Hot Shots?
I did not.
Really?
No, I did not. I wanted to, but
they have a tuna sandwich.
Yeah, mm. I couldn't really.
You said talking. You wanted to, but it didn't materialize. Veiled complaint.
No, that was my plan, but when we got there, we sat down, and then
plus Jennings was salivating over appendages next to him.
You can't really eat while you do the show.
When he sees a foot and the vital signs, really, there's an uptick. You know, the breathing gets heavier.
Gino was the winner.
Sweat.
Doug
sweat.
Gino.
Yeah, he was very happy. Jay was very happy with the contestants.
You know, let me tell you something, by the way. That Gina was fine. She was fine, man. Yeah. And she and her husband have been married for 24 years. Mm-hmm. And he didn't tell her. That's kind of the way it works with the Foot Fetish Friday. It's always a bait and swee.
Right.
They were going to go to dinner right there at Nippon Te.
Mm-hmm.
Same strip mall, the whole deal.
What is Nippon Te?
It's a sushi restaurant right next to the Hot Shots on Manchester. And he said, oh, we might stop by this radio event. You might have to take your shoes off.
Oh, she fell for it, hook, line, and sinker.
And next thing she knows, she's winning $150 and a pearl necklace from Vince Aguirre Jewelers.
Right.
That's a nice prize. Was there any kicking of the jowls or any of that?
No, but he kind of did a sneak attack on the kissing thing.
Yeah, he actually was kissing their feet. He did that on this very program.
Yep, this award-winning presentation.
We've won no awards.
It's no wonder you lost your appetite, Doug.
It's a different sort of thing.
Doug, vote Hammaker for circuit attorney. He is young and vibrant. Thanks. Mitch the Sex Kitten. If you have
young
Mitch the Sex Kitten's
vibrant
endorsement, you have my vote.
I haven't paid close enough attention to the local and statewide elections.
All I know is if you're running as Republican for governor, you have a gun and you are shooting it in your commercials. That's what I know. I don't know if I've seen Brunner isn't out there shooting guns, is he?
I haven't seen him shoot anyone.
I mean, Greitens just had a... I mean, that thing.
That was a heavy, heavy weaponry.
Guys, when is TMA coming out to Hot Shots in Wentzville? Get it together over there, will you? I believe we actually are. I think that's on the itinerary.
Is it?
Yeah. I might have to spend the night at that one.
That's a little hike out there.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
That used to be, halfway to Columbia.
That's right.
So it felt, and now it's still part of the Metro Runaway. Yep.
How far is it? How long a drive?
Well, it depends on where you're coming from.
Look, let's say the radio station proper.
Proper, it's probably 45 minutes.
Yeah, Tim's going to have to get us a car. Car
Uber.
Service.
And car maybe not service. 45 minutes. Maybe not.
Tim, you looked exhausted when we fitted you for clubs, but you were still able to hit a 7-iron 175 yards. Hashtag long ball. That's from my PGA pro, Dan.
Oh.
Dan seems to be a bit of a lemming.
Well, Dan was amused by how people got really worked up, and I didn't realize that this is like a thing.
Mm-hmm.
What? Like, sometimes we say things and we're not by any means attempting to brag, but there's a hypersensitivity. This started like about a decade ago with the cat talking about how he had a flight, and people are like, oh, we get it. You get to fly.
Now it's become a punchline.
Right, but except sometimes I think they're serious.
I did mention Cal Ripken Jr. hoping I would get some blowback. I intentionally mentioned that he got up and shook my hand, hoping I would get some angry texts.
I didn't see it. Maybe I wasn't looking at the text.
It was a plant by me. It didn't work.
That I hit a pitching wedge 135 yards, and all hell broke loose in the text inbox from some people because they were really upset about me saying that. Meanwhile, I shoot around 100 when I go out and play. So, yeah, I can maybe hit a ball decently.
Well, you have good wedge play.
But I don't score for crap. Played a Tapawingo on Saturday.
That's
Bacardi
tough.
Boys.
Tapawingo's tough. I got one of the nine.
Fired
holes
a 48 on the front, 48 on the back. So there. I hope that balances out the fact that I can hit a ball decently far. But I got new clubs because I'm still using the clubs that I had in 2003.
How'd they help?
I just ordered them from PGA Pro Dan.
Oh, did you?
Went over
really
and got that fitting over at his place.
Really?
Golf Galaxy in Fairview Heights.
Where what kind of clubs you get?
Ping irons and ping driver.
Blessed.
Oh man.
Oh, must be nice.
It is.
Some
nice.
Of us have
it's very nice.
Cash is really starting to tumble in.
I'm still using Acme wooden shafted clubs from years ago.
We got Tyler one of those indoor little putting greens.
Is he shaving strokes off his game?
He loves it. Maybe we'll get him some golf lessons. It's a good thing for a kid to get involved with.
I regret so much, and I have no idea why I stopped playing for 10 years. It's just the strangest damn thing.
It's a time
thing. In hindsight, it's not. I mean, I understand. If I were still doing television and I had two jobs, I mean, I get it then. But, you know, I could have been playing. I don't know what the hell I was doing. Stupid. I mean, part of it was poker, but that ended really in 2011. So it sucks. It's just dumb. And I really enjoy playing. I went out with the listeners to Acorns Golf Links last Saturday. The Cat. Great Americans. Patriots.
Great Americans. You think of picking up another board game like Battleship or something like that or Stratego?
I like that Chutes and Ladders.
Chutes and Ladders is fun. You like Stratego, Doug?
Yeah, yeah. Played a lot of Stratego. Awful lot of Stratego. Yeah, I'm a fan. Yeah.
Why don't you and Tim play Stratego tonight?
You want to do that?
Watch the Bachelor.
Well, watch the Bachelor and play Stratego.
It's fun to set it up and hide the flag.
Tim will get food delivered, I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't leave the house. I've already got my metabolic meals.
What do you say, Doug?
I think I got bison pasta tonight.
Mm. Boy, that's cool. That's a cool thing to eat.
Buffalo Tatanka?
Sure.
It's a different, leaner protein?
I would just have regular meat.
Now, today, I think I'm taking Tyler to see a movie, which is a beautiful thing because it's dark and you can kind of take a little nap during a kid's movie.
You're going to take him to see Hillary's America.
What?
Are you going to take him to see Hillary's America?
Is that a kid's movie? It doesn't seem like
no.
It. No, then I won't, Doug. No.
Oh, I thought maybe
you want me to teach my kid hatred. You want me to teach my kid hatred at age 7?
No, it's not hatred.
You want me to
you want to teach him facts.
You want me to politically activate him at age 7?
No, I haven't seen it.
Woodrow Wilson is in the White House theater, and a Ku Klux Klansman shoots out of the projector, and he follows him out to the White House lawn.
Right out of the projector?
Yeah. So I feel like it's something we need to sit down as a show and watch. Plowhawk, can we watch that at your place?
Oh, hell yeah, buddy. Actually, cooking up some hamburger helper tonight. Not quite for sure if it's going to be four cheese, maybe the lasagna. Also, the Philly cheesesteak is a very underrated hamburger helper dish.
Okay.
So if you would like me, just let me know.
Theaters.
Just let me know in advance so I can double down on the hamburger
in the theaters.
Helper.
We can't watch it at your house yet.
Oh, okay, my bad. Yeah, well, we can, you know, eat hamburger helper and then go to the movie theater.
Okay.
Right. You know, the cheeseburger mac and cheese, hamburger
solid.
Helper, it's pretty good.
Problem is the market does not have that kind available. Only four or five kinds, depending on what they bring in. So I'll check it out today.
All right, good luck.
Where is this market you're talking about?
About a half block, hop, skip, and a jump from my place.
But where is it? What road is it?
Barton, corner of Barton and 12th.
Don't do the.
That's the.
Don't do that.
That's the grocery. That's the local grocery store for Suvar.
That's right.
Been here many times.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Tim, I hit my pitching wedge about 160.
Oh, you do not. Who are we talking to? Bubba Watson.
It's from Sonnenberg Asphalt.
Doug, can I ask you a parenting question, please?
Wedge 100. What do you say? 150.
160.
160. He doesn't.
Like how far to like does a guy like Jason Day hit his pitching wedge?
I would think.
I mean, I saw yesterday, like, somebody was 205, 215 out, and they had a 5-iron, or 6-iron, I think it was, actually. And Jason Day's hitting his driving iron 260. I mean, geez.
I don't know. I don't know what club.
So maybe Sonnenberg Asphalt's on the tour. I don't
doubt
know.
I doubt Sonnenberg's hitting a 160-yard pitching wedge. I doubt it. The ball would be 500 feet in the air, wouldn't it? A pitching wedge with a big loft on it? You're going to hit it 160
What are you
yards?
Looking at me for? I had a parenting question.
Okay, what's your question?
What age do you let your kid know that life is not a day at Chuck E. Cheese? Like, I'm not going to take him to go see a documentary or anything. What age do you start letting your kid know that life is not an ice cream sundae?
Well, I don't know that there's a specific
come to naturally.
Age. It'll probably be some incident in his life where things don't seem fair to him. And you'll just have to explain it. Life is not always fair. You just got to pull yourself up by the darn bootstraps.
I shot an 85 at Bogey Hills yesterday. Suck on that, Doug. That's from Bunchy Donovan's Priest.
85 at Bogey Hills.
Suck right. on that, Doug.
That's out there in St. Charles?
Yeah, we've done a show from there.
Yeah, that's pretty good score. That's a good score. Yeah, that's not a bad score.
Okay.
You got to play a lot to get better than that.
Okay.
You hit that plateau where I can't play at all. I take lessons. Now I play all the time. Ooh, now I'm shooting 90, 85. But to get any better than that, most people have to play it all the time.
Tim, don't say driving iron. Thanks, 314.
Yeah, I let that go, but I probably shouldn't have. You're talking about a one iron?
I didn't even know they make those.
Oh, yeah, I've had a one iron before.
Do you really?
Is that a driving iron?
Well, no, it was an iron. The old joke was if in a lightning storm, you're supposed to take the one iron and hold it in the air because not even God can hit a one iron.
Also hit my four iron 260 to 270. Doug, watch me stroke the ball. It's from Sonnenberg Asphalt.
You hit your four iron 270, do you? I don't buy it. I don't buy it at all.
How's your short game, Doug?
My short game's lousy. Because you have to play a lot to have a short game. If you don't play, you can still sometimes go out and get off the tee. But to have the touch around the green, a short game when you don't play.
But that's hand-eye coordination. You're an athlete. You should be fine.
No. Just Tim, that tool probably hit a pitching wedge thin once, and he rocketed 160 yards, and now he tells everyone he got his wedge 160 yards. Mm-hmm.
Or he hit a cart
pad. I'll tell you, if you go on this program, whether you talk or you text, and talk about how far you hit a golf ball, all hell will break loose. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that. And anyway, that's how I met PGA Pro Dan.
Who's a big lemming.
Well, he has...
He is a Tim Lemming.
I don't think he really is. But he saved me from the blister I used to get because I held the club wrong.
Well, bless his heart.
Yeah, he did. So that's one grip. Of the reasons. Yes, indeed. So that's why I'm back in the game.
And you were so thankful you got your clubs from him.
Well, I felt like he was kind enough to reach out, not expecting anything in return. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to reciprocate by making sure I did business with him.
Nice.
He's a good fella.
Has he got a new bag to put these wonderful clubs in?
No, I have a Cleveland bag, and they don't even make Cleveland irons anymore. I had no idea that that's the case. They still make, like, wedges. But
oh, that's embarrassing. You can't.
No, but it's like a powder blue Cardinals jersey now, so it's actually retro.
You're cool. You're still
right.
Cool.
I'm
right.
Still cool.
I still have that big, enormous Rodney Dangerfield and Caddyshack kind of bag with my name on it.
Oh, that's gangster.
It was a present years ago, and I come out with this bag with my name on it.
From who?
Wife.
Oh, that's nice. Why do you say, wife?
Well, I didn't want her to do that. And so I stand on the first tee, and people see the name, the bag, this huge bag with my name, and they're thinking, wow, I guess this guy maybe can play a little. He didn't play on the tour or anything. He's got his name on his bag. And then they see my swing, and they say, what a jerk to have his name on his bag and a swing like that.
Well, they probably
very
say
embarrassing.
His wife is a lovely lady and very thoughtful, got him a wonderful gift.
What kind of player with a 20 handicap has his name on his bag?
Guys, according to a recent GolfSmith article, the average PGA Tour pitching wedge carried 136 yards.
PGA, that's the best players in the world are hitting at 136.
Yeah, but Sonnenberg Asphalt strokes it.
He's about 160. Considerably farther than the best players on the planet. I believe it. I just do.
I guess we have email today.
Right. Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After.
Pitch out. Nobody going. Doug, we're giving away a $10 gift certificate to Salt and Smin. All right. The official brisket of the Ryan Kelly Morning After.
Boy, that's good.
It really is. All you got to do is say it and it puts you in a happy place.
Really good.
Fellas, fantastic show on Thursday evening. It made me think that the effort was inside that tower and broadcasting around there. I really enjoyed the foot fetish contestant turned karaoke singer who got the hook after just two Dixie Chicks verses. But the real star of the night was Plowsy. 5 minutes into the show, he states, I wasn't for sure if we could drink on the air. Apparently paying no mind to the two bulls he just crushed in a green 97 Lumina. Need proof Plowsy was baked? He sputtered this phrase in hour two. The quesadillas are off the chain, man. But his most memorable line came when discussing his own mother and stating, I second-guessed it when I saw her bra come off. It's still a great night. That comes from your pal Ducey McBulge, the salty Irishman.
Ducey McBulge, the saucy Irishman.
Howdy. I broke down the game film of every past TMA episode and came up with some interesting statistics. So this is going to be interesting. Percentage of audience lost by Doug's Dr. Red Duke reference, 99%.
I'm Dr. Red Duke. Boy, when you see it, you'll say, boy, that's nice.
Amount of times the cat has interrupted someone since the show's inception, 2,156.
I'll take the over.
Amount of perspiration lost by Jennings during a typical foot fetish Friday, 1.3 gallons. Average age of adult film stars who have visited the studio, 62. the plow red's lung capacity left unblackened by tar, 5%. I think these numbers are pretty accurate,
they
actually.
Seem to be, yeah.
Number of times Charlie has complained about my crappy emails, 3. It should be higher. Number of calls Tim has made to Dan Caesar to correct a story, 6. Actually, it was 27, but my calculator always magically came back to 6. That comes from Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech.
Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech.
Too much lemming talk in there.
Bingo, bango, bongo, what a true pony on Thursbat. I could not get over how much cuter all the listeners were in person. Keith, Peter, Matt, and cute little Danny Isaac. The real night began after the radio show ended. Tony Doe, the white-collar gangster, and I lost Timmy Recaps as the fourth for our MMMM, so we were on the troll for hot older men. Luckily, Doug Vaughn had taken his shirt off and was challenging any takers to Papa Shot basketball. I tried to scoot behind him to engage in a U.S. Native American relation peace talk, so I said, Doug, could you please move? I don't want to rub up against you in my half shirt. To which he coyly replied, that's not what you said last night. I stopped dead in my tracks. Was this the moment I had been longing for my whole life? Well, it turned out it was, because next thing I know, Doug and I were out in the back alley of Hot Shots, propped up on the grease dumpster.
Okay, that's enough! Who was it, Tim?
Cucky Zamed.
Cucky's med has been suspended. He's been suspended a period of 2 days' time, and his name just now went into the Llewellyn's Pub suspension logule.
Hey, morning, boys. Big storm last night. Disappointed y'all three made it in. A few weeks ago, the plow red pointed out that his breakfast routine is based on being able to properly budget for a plastic jug of strawberry milk. Now, I love me some Plowsy, but I have to point out that should the lad care to save a few dimes, he may consider doing his grocery shopping at an actual grocery store and not at a high-end gas station. Granted, Quick Trip is known for its produce, including Nanners, a frozen pizza from a bar is a delicious treat, and when one is overcome by the desire for a Lunchable after gobbling a dime bag, well, I guess sometimes you have to make that move. Just a thought, that's from the president of the unofficial Lionel Richie Fan Club.
President, unofficial Lionel Richie Fan Club.
Steinberg asphalt's back, Doug.
Okay.
Tour players swing with a lot more control. That's why the average is so low.
Sure.
They lose distance due to that.
They hardly ever hit the ball far, those guys.
There are quite a few of them that can hit a pitching wedge 160-plus. Phil and DJ could easily, but by doing so, they would sacrifice accuracy.
Sure. Well, why would you even have the other clubs in your bag if you're going to use the pitching wedge to hit everything?
It's the next question for you, Steinberg asphalt. Action's on you, sir. Hey, boys. Upset of the century, the most active person on the fan page this weekend is an African-American female professor educated at Harvard and Wash U. At least that's what she says. Stephen Wildwood, skeptical of Becky. Becky's a smart lady, Doug, and a great member of the fan page. Can Tim let us know if he comes off Johnson for president for the people making absentee ballots? Headed up to Chi-Town in a couple weeks, what bar will have the most lesbian activity post-Cardinals and Cubs games? Does Jay Jr. really have a brother, or was that just Jay Jr.? Ray Donovan, gonna Ray Donovan. Thanks, Steve in Wildwood.
Steve in Wildwood.
This is from the Barnhart Brawler, Doug. It's a little lengthy. Do you have a problem
with it? Well, how much time we got?
We'll take a look. 6 minutes.
Okay. Perfect. Well, maybe read a little of it.
See how it goes.
If there's nothing else,
I'll let you. You can pull the plug.
Okay.
It was the day of the Windsor Middle School talent show back in 2005. My band Neon Monkey was scheduled to play, and it was also the Champions League final that day between Liverpool and AC Milan. I heard the score from the first half right before the show started, and it was not good, with the Reds down 3-0. 3-0? It was time for us to take the stage, and I pulled my Liverpool jersey over my band t-shirt. Boy, were we terrible playing that Goldfinger punk cover of 99 Red Balloons. Anyway.
Off to a good start.
It's meandering a little, Tim.
Well, it's a scene setter.
Okay.
After the talent show, I got home dejected, but my dad made me sit down and watch the highlights from the game in Istanbul. Much to my surprise, Liverpool had come all the way back, sparked by a fantastic header by Stevie G, Captain Fan-F-Fantastic. I absolutely love the way Gerard? Played with such passion, with borderline recklessness.
Okay, that's enough. I don't need a soccer recap from a game, 11 years ago or so?
Even if it was more recent, we probably wouldn't need it.
But he's saying that he's going to sing You'll Never Walk Alone tonight at Busch Stadium. That's where he was going.
Okay. You guys going to the soccer game?
I'm not.
Didn't think so. Barnhart Brawler.
Hey, Doug, let's play then. I can crush the ball. Sure, I'm a 14 handicap. Not great, but let's play. I'd love to see you hit your grandpa drive 185 yards, you big sissy. Sonnenberg Asphalt.
Sonnenberg Asphalt.
Well, that was a text.
That was a text.
Morning, boys.
I can hit a drive 180 yards.
I'm just back from Fort Lauderdale, hashtag blessed, and I'm never missing a TMA live event again. Don't you hate it when, whilst recreating, the TP roll is jammed in too tight and you can't get more than just one square out without ripping? Let me tell you, in spring, Doug and I were having one of our thapless barbecues when he took an ear of corn, slid it long ways down his gullet, and pulled it out with nary a kernel remaining. It was so hot. As we went for a post-barbecue jog down Hampton, Doug felt the need to empty his bowels in front of a vacant radio station, and that's how the corn got in front of the 920.
Okay, that's enough! Who was it, Tim?
Is that true?
No.
Jamie Moyer's Fancy Foyer.
Jamie Moyer's Fancy Foyer.
I mean, we had a hell of a harvest here just a few weeks ago.
Has been suspended a period of 2 days Doug? Time. His name has gone into the Llewellyn's Pub Suspension Logule special of the day, Driscoll Summer Salad.
Morning, fellas. I have to say, Thursday evening at Hot Shots, Twas a Pony. It was truly an honor to sit with the likes of Dave with the cauliflower ear, Coach Sampson, the Brawler, Lefty Jacksmere, Timmy Recaps, Brother Hebert, Cucky, and the Webster Wienpeeker. I felt blessed to meet my hero, Timmy Magic Mouth McKernan. And of course, by meet, I mean peered him through a potted plant across the room. But I'd have to say the biggest honor of the night was when I was invited to take part in a smoke sesh with Cucky and Plowsy. I reluctantly had to decline, and as I told Cucky that Doug and I have a date out behind the dumpster with Lady Coitus. I love you guys. The hipster of Tower Grove South.
Hipster, Tower Grove South.
Let's see what else I got here.
Any good ones, Tim?
Let's see.
I heard a good one already.
Thursday was a pony. Tim looked awesome in his new hat. Doug was sexier than ever, and the foot fetish Friday was a real slobber knocker. The empty chair was reserved for Jewish people. Sign was a nice touch, but the end got a little awkward. I was standing with my beard when up came Doug to claim his property. That was it for me. I grabbed that karaoke microphone and started a heartfelt rendition of Torn Between Two Lovers. Feeling like a fool, loving both of you was breaking all the rules. There wasn't a drunken dry in the house, for I was speaking for every male listener confused by their wanting to get Doug naked. And that comes from Injun Joe's Cave Ride Magic Man.
Injun Joe's Cave Ride Magic Man.
And finally, guys, I'm discouraged from emailing the show because my emails never get read. After watching The Big Short last night, I'm starting to think Plow Dad is a fraud and has the system rigged. Since this won't be read, I might as well share some intimate secrets about my life. I only find Doug to be moderately attractive. There are better-looking dads out there with less attitude. I wear a Jason Hayward Cubs shirt during sex with my spouse. It gives me the confidence I need to be a better lover. I'm 28 and still kiss my stepdad on the lips.
Oh, no. No, don't.
It is actually how I contracted herpes, not the bad kind, just cold sores on my lips and rectum. Another wasted email, Doug, that comes from Rory Pepperpaws.
Rory.
That's what we have for the email of the day. Who's going to Salt and Smin with a $10 gift certificate?
I don't think I have a choice but to vote for Jamie Moyer's Fancy Foyer. I don't think it's close either, if you're being fair about it, Doug.
I was going to vote for a fellow by the name of Ducey McBulge, the saucy Irishman, but I had my opinion changed right there at the end. I kind of feel bad for Rory Pepperpaws, and his email was okay, so I'm going to vote for Rory Pepperpaws.
The winner, Jamie Moyer's Fancy Foyer, has just shipped the email of the day and a $10 gift certificate.
Damn it, Luke.
Tim and Doug, this Sunday morning, early tea time, any course you want. Doug, I'll clean your balls, and you can watch me work, Poppy. That's from Sonnenberg Asphalt.
Boy, that really
not,
boy,
that's what I said. You talk about how far you hit a golf ball and all hell breaks loose.
Well, I guess. And this is the guy that's going to show us how to hit a wedge, 160.
That's right.
Okay.
So we got to do that on Sunday?
See that. This is not the sand wedge, but the pitching
wedge. See if he can get us on at St. Louis.
I doubt it.
All right. Frank's up next with the Lion's Choice Famous Roast Beef Hand-Up. Frank Cusmano's Hollywood Casino Press Box. For Peyton. For the Plow Red. For my brother, Kevin. For the Seamaster. For Jimmy the Cat Hayes. For Douglas Sullivan Vaughn. I'm Tim McKernan. This has been the Ryan Kelly Morning After on CBS Sports 105.7 HD2 FM 920 AM and inside STL.com live. Gateway. Buick. GMC Studios.